Sometimes we talk about faith. I think you and I exercise a lot of trust when you drive over a bridge. You don't realize you're doing it, but you have so much faith in the structure of that particular bridge because you, by driving over, you're already saying that you believe that it's going to hold you, that it's not going to collapse on you any moment. So you're really trusting the steel, the rods, and the concrete. Somebody came up with that idea, the concrete and steel, like the rebars, man, that's a strong foundation. And any structure, any building, you know, they have that foundation. And you trust because that foundation is going to keep them strong through the elements of weather, whatever, you know, snow, whatever it is that's going to come and attack them, they'll be able to withstand the challenges. So I think we do exercise a lot of faith, and we don't realize. You exercise a lot of faith when you get in your car and you believe that the brakes, the moment you step on it, they will break. They will work. I mean, that's, you know, we're talking about faith. That's really what faith is. But sometimes we don't realize that we're trusting that system, trusting that. The structure. Our beliefs determine our behavior and actions. In other words, how we act or behave is based on something that we believe. We believe, and then we decide to behave or act differently because based on something is governed. Something governs our behavior, and that's what we call beliefs. You can look it up, Google it, see the definition. That's what it is, a set of beliefs. And so your actions, why you act today, why people act differently, is based on what they believe. So you see that our beliefs are the structure that upon which we build our lives. Now, when you examine your lives and you realize that your life is known by fear, that you're always fearful, that you have a lot of insecurities in your life, you're always overwhelmed with life's challenges, then I must ask you, what do I truly believe? When my life is known because I'm always insecure about life and I'm afraid of the challenges, what is it that is governing that fear? Something that you believe in yourself, and you might not even realize. Our beliefs determine our actions and behavior. Now, we talk about a worldview. Worldview is a system of beliefs. Everybody has a worldview. They might not know how to identify what a worldview is, but a worldview is this. It's a platform from which you stand to make sense of the world. So in that platform for when you stand, you already have a set of beliefs inside, and that's why you act differently. That's why you say what you say. I mean, it governs our thoughts, our whatever we do in life. So Rick Warren is the guy from Saddleback Church in California. He wrote the book Purpose Driven Life, Purpose Driven Church. He says, a faulty worldview will cause you all kinds of unnecessary problems in your life. You see, if you have this faulty worldview, this faulty set of beliefs in your system, it will cause you a lot of unnecessary issues in life. And people sometimes wonder why things are going the way they are, but that's based on your perception, based on what you believe. And so your worldview might be faulty. That's why you're cracking. You see, a worldview is the foundation. So the foundation of a bridge or building is not good. When the storm hits, it will collapse. Why am I telling you all this? To talk to you about the supremacy of Christ. Because, you know, when Jesus asked, let me just give you an example. We heard that sermon many times. We read it. When Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say I am? You know what really he was asking them? What do you believe about me? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus said to the disciples, who do people say I am? The disciple says, well, some people think you are a prophet, John the Baptist, Elijah, or any other prophet. And then he says, but what do you say I, who do you say I am? Jesus really asking them, what do you believe? What are your beliefs about me? You know, and Peter replied correctly at that time. Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, well done, Peter, because this was revealed to you by my Father in heaven. Now, but the question that I have, and this is the issue that I have with our beliefs about Jesus, because sometimes I believe that many of us know that he's the Messiah and we just leave it right there. That Jesus is the Messiah, he died for my sins, and we're done. Do you know that if you only believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that might not help you through the struggles you're going through in life? Because the Messiah came to do something, it was just to die for our salvation. Yeah, you're saved, but how is Jesus being the Messiah going to help you deal with the struggles you are going through right now? Have you thought about that for a moment? When Jesus asked that to the disciples, let me bring it back. Some of you perhaps are getting confused. When Jesus said to the disciples, who do people say I am? Well, people believe he was only a prophet. Like we have religious groups today that said Jesus is just a great teacher who taught us how to be spiritually advanced. Jesus is just like Muhammad. Jesus is that. And then the disciples said, well, you are the Messiah. For us, you are the expected Messiah, the one that will redeem Israel. That's what the Messiah means. Jesus, you are the Savior. You're going to save our lives from the Romans. And yes, they wanted a political Messiah. When Jesus said, why do you believe about me? And what I'm saying to you, my friends, is sometimes we just believe that we know all about Jesus that we know is that he's the Messiah, that he came and died for me. And we just leave it there. And I think that will limit our worldview about Jesus. And my job today, what I want to do with this sermon, I want to expand our view of Jesus. Because yes, he was the Messiah, but he was more than that too. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes if you only believe that Jesus is the Messiah, you know, yes, he died for you. He saved you from your sins. But how is that going to take you to heaven? The Messiah, he also resurrected. And so there's so many things that we have to believe about Jesus. And that's why we have the Word of God. When you go through a scripture, even the gospel, you take gospel accounts, I guarantee you that none of the gospel only wrote that Jesus was the Messiah. Some of them portray him as something else. John, for instance, remember, he says the Word became flesh and existed before man. So, see, there's more about Jesus that you and I need to know, because if we build a strong worldview based on him, then it will carry us through life. We'll build a firm foundation. But if our worldview about Jesus is faulty, it's limited, then we're always going to be known for insecurities and fears in our own lives. And I just want to expand the view that we have of Jesus. Yes, he was a great teacher. He was a prophet. He was a high priest. He was a Messiah. But Jesus Christ is more than that. And I'm going to show it to you in the text we're going to be looking at in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, Paul wants you to have a bigger view of Jesus. In chapter 1, verse 15, he says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and powers and rules and authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. When I read that, I cannot contain myself. Like, look at all the things about Jesus that perhaps you had no idea, you did not know. I mean, usually, this is what we do. When we talk about God the Creator, we think about the Father, don't we? Paul says, you know who the Creator was? Yeshua, Jesus. He's the image of the invisible God. So it's interesting. Jesus Christ is God. Now, you and I will have religious people that they will say that Jesus was just the Messiah. He wasn't God. And the Bible is full of example that he was God in the flesh. Why do you think they call him Emmanuel, God with us? So Paul says he's the image of the invisible God. So what's going on here? The God of the Old Testament, nobody got to see him. You know, people heard a voice, they have visions, and they saw a burning bush, and they heard God talk. Paul is reminding us, Jesus is that God that you couldn't see. Now you get to see him. God walking with you. So he's the image of the, you know what an image is? Something that, you know, like in a quarter, you see the image of one of the United States presidents. So you never got to meet the man, but you see his imprint. Jesus is the imprint of God. He said it, to look at me is to look at God himself. So you see, he's not just the Messiah, he is God in the flesh. And not just any God, he's the Creator. I mean, look at what he says right there. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. This idea of the firstborn carries this idea that he's higher in rank of the creation. He's supreme, he's preeminent over his creation. You know, the Bible says in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now Paul tells you who that God was. Yahweh is the same as Jesus. Yahweh is known in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it's called Yeshua, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and God in the flesh. He is supreme over his creation, the firstborn of all creation. He is preeminent in rank. Jesus Christ is over what he created. I mean, that's really even makes sense, because when you create something, you are in charge of what you create. And in order for you to create something, I don't know if you knew this, you had to be outside of that realm of which you are creating. A computer guy, a guy creates a computer, he cannot create a computer from within the computer. You have to be outside of the components of that computer in order for you to put the things in place. So we know creation exists today because somebody higher, more intelligent than all of us, had to have done something. And we know who that person is, God. And Paul says specifically, Jesus Christ. He's the firstborn of all creation, for by him, I love that, by him all things were created. I mean, I don't know if you ever thought about that. You see that you were created by God and for God? Have you ever thought about that? Like, you're not here just for whatever you want to do. You were created by him and for God. Everything that he created is for his glory. You and I are part of the creation too. So you see, you and I need to right-size Jesus. He's the Messiah. He died. He humbled himself. But he's God in the flesh. I mean, he's the creator of the universe. And you and I, the firstborn of all creation, supreme over his creation. He says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible. Things that we can see and things that we cannot see, like the dark world out there we cannot see. The spiritual realm, whether thrones and powers and rulers and authority. Some translation will say, oh, dominions. The angelic world, you and I have no idea what that looks like. All that has been created by Jesus and for Jesus. You see, he's supreme over everything he created. You see, an architect or an engineer, they are supreme. They are preeminent over the design. That's what it means. Like, they are in charge. They're known for that. They're more superior to that thing that they created. I mean, yes, the building looks nice, man, the great design, but who made that? You see that building, there had to be a designer. You see a picture, there had to be a painter. You see a bridge built somewhere. It just didn't happen. Somebody with an intelligent mind decided this is how it's going to look like and this is how much it's going to resist. That means that person is preeminent over that creation or superior, just like Jesus Christ is preeminent over us, over the whole universe because he created it. John 1:1 reminds us the Gospel of John. John is interesting. He does not talk about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. He just goes way deep. He goes that he existed before time existed. It says, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God from the beginning. By him all things were created. How did God create the universe? He just spoke things into existence. Let there be light, and boom, there was light. If God wanted that, God would get what he wants. So Jesus Christ is the creator. All things were, John 1:3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Talking about Jesus. You see, that's the point that I'm trying to make here is that, you see, Jesus in the Bible, he's more than just the Messiah. You know, the Messiah means Jewish Messiah, Savior. To save you from, how did he save people from their sins? By dying on the cross. When he says it is finished, the Messiah job was done. So what now? You might ask. He resurrected. Now he's showing people that he has power over death. When he says in Matthew, all authority has been given to me. Jesus, man, he shows it right there. He's preeminent. He's superior. He's in charge of everything that he created. All things were made through him and by him. Nothing that you see made never came to be without Jesus. And let me just give you a couple more texts to help you see, to help you right-size the view of Jesus. Psalm 33:6, it says, by the word of the Lord, the word Lord there is Jehovah in the King James Version, by the word of Yahweh, the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth, their host. I mean, I don't know about you, when you think about like, wow, God, just the whole universe, by the word of the Lord, the heavens. Not just the sky that we see, the heavens, things that we need to go outside of our atmosphere to be able to look into. Nehemiah 9:6 says, you are Yahweh, you are Jehovah, you are the Lord. You alone, you have made the heavens of heavens with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserved all of them. And the host of heaven worship you. All things were made by him and for him. Isaiah 40:12. I love that text in Isaiah because that's when the Israelites were complaining to the prophet, saying that the Lord had forsaken them and that he wasn't care about what they were going through. And the Lord saying word through the prophet Isaiah, and just in a way of questioning, he says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? I mean, you got that picture, like who can measure all the waters in the whole world? In the hollow of your hand. It's a rhetorical question, meaning who? I, the Lord. And like he measured the whole universe just in this, like this, like right there. I mean, that's had to be big. This guy had to be huge to be able to do that. We don't even know how many universes are out there. The unknown galaxies. And, you know, and we love to go into NASA and tap into some of the things that we know because of a telescope that we're paying for called Hubble Telescope out there. And we are wow every time because there's so many things that we have not even seen in the ocean even. All of a sudden, people find a new species or something like that. Because finally, we created something bigger enough that we can go deeper. I mean, there's so many things out there. And all those things, the Bible says, was created by whom? Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He's Savior, but he's more than that. He's God. He's the Creator. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in a scale, in the hills in a balance. That's why when Job was complaining to God, he said, God, why is it happening to me? And the Lord said, you want me to give you an answer? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? If you know that, then we can talk. Job was like, we had, you know, it's like, guys, the Creator, I mean, he laid the foundations of the earth. And you read the book of Job, he stores the snow and the seasons, all those things being controlled by the powerful God that we know in the Bible as Yahweh or Jesus Christ. He's the Creator. And like I said, a creator must be outside of the realm of that which you create. And you see it every time. Even when Paul is drawing, he's the preeminent over the drawing because he has to be outside to see all the details. That's what God does for you and I. He's outside. And that's what he can create. He has to be bigger than creation. And then Paul goes on and he says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones and powers and rulers and authorities, all things were created by him and for him. In other words, Paul is saying he is in charge of everything. When you and I sometimes talk about he has the whole world in his hands, that's what, you know, he holds the whole world in his hands. He's above the creation, but he's in charge of everything that he created. Nothing is by accident in this world. There's an intelligent mind out there, and we know that his name is Yahweh, the Lord, Jesus, in the New Testament. He's before all things, meaning that he's above everything that he created. He's superior, he's preeminent over the creator. And in him, I love this one. This is the one I really want you guys, if you don't hear anything else, hear this one out. And in him, all things hold together. Because talking about worldviews, deism, there's a worldview called deistic. They believe in a God. But they believe this. They believe that God created the universe and just abandoned the universe to do whatever. So in other words, nobody's in charge out there. Naturalists believe that, you know, it's all nature. But nature, how did nature come about? Then somebody must have put nature in place. So those are worldviews out there that perhaps you and I will have to get in conversation with people sometimes. We say, oh no, everything is just karma, it's by accident. And it's like the Bible is very clear. Somebody created that and that's so perfectly aligned. That you and I should praise God every time when you get up in the morning, you realize, wow, the earth's still going around the sun. It's still, you know, what God wants it to do. And you know, like you were to investigate, like the earth were like inches away from the sun or inches closer to the sun, you and I could not even live. That's the only planet on the universe, the Milky Way galaxy, that you can live. You know, NASA trying to find out another earth, investigate, and you know, and just like that, this is the only place, according to the Bible, that God has created with that capability. The arch that we go around the sun, it has to be perfect. 2 inches off, life would not be possible. Tell me that just happened by accident. He controls that. He's in charge. In him, all things hold together. In other words, what he's saying is God is the glue that keeps that thing going. And imagine if he keeps the universe going, wouldn't he keep you going too? In him, all things hold together. In him, you and I don't fall apart. Acts 17:28, Paul go to Athens and he's debating with philosophies of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers, and they believe that life is all about having pleasure. So Paul gets there, they gave him the chance to talk, and Paul used one of their own poets to talk about Yahweh, to talk about God. He said these words, "And in him," meaning Christ, "we live, we move, and have our being." We exist today because somebody created us, designed us to be the way we are today. We're not here by accident. All that we are, dust in the wind. No, we're more than that. We're being fastened by majesty. The creator of the universe says, you know, I breathe out stars. Chris Tomlin said, he places stars in the sky and he knows each one by name. And because of his great power, no one of them is missing. And you think that if God can do that to a star, wouldn't he do that to human beings, which are the apple of his eye? He created humans in his own image. He holds the universe in his hands, and he will hold me and you, because by him all things hold together. You see, that tells me right there, Jesus Christ as creator, he is involved in his creation. It's not like a clockmaker that just created the clock and just abandoned it. He never abandons his creation. He's still involved in it. As huge as it is, he's still involved in his creation. I mean, he even came as a man to his creation to live with people that he loved. As creator, he's involved. He's huge, but yeah, he's still present. He's involved in his creation. He has great power. Just like he holds the universe in his hands, he also holds you and I. The amazing God we worship, Jesus Christ, not only sustains the universe, but he's able to sustain you and I when we go through life issues in this life. And then he goes on. I mean, some of the things that Paul highlights, he says, he's the head of the body, the church. Jesus Christ is in charge of the church. The church was Jesus' idea from the get-go. Remember, I mean, the first time you hear the word church is in Matthew 16 when he's telling the disciples that he's going to go and die. And then Peter, when he asks the question, who do people say I am? When Simon says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, you say, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father. And I say that you are Peter, and on this rock, I will build my ecclesia. I will build my church. The first time you hear the word church from the mouth of Jesus, I will build my church. So the church belongs to the Pope, the preacher? No, the church belongs to Jesus. It was his idea. And the church, that's why, if it belongs to Jesus, the church ought to be Christ's center. He has to be at the center of everything that's around the church, because what Paul is doing here in Colossians, he's showing you that Jesus Christ is over creation. He's over the universe. He's over you and I, and he's even over his church. The church is created by him. It was his idea. He's superior to it. No wonder he says, by him all things hold together. All things were created by him and for him. And another thing too, he says, in verse 18, and the head of the body, the church, he's the beginning and the firstborn, that's the phrase again, firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy. He's the pioneer of the church, the founder. He's also in rank, he's above life and death. Jesus said it many times. Like, I came so that in me you may have life. He can give people life. That's what Paul says, in him we move, we live, and we have our being. Our nature is from him. He put that into our DNA. And then in Revelation, he says, look, I hold the key to life and death. Because he's in charge. He's the one that knows when I'm going to die. He's the one that's in charge of all life, death issues. And if he came, it's so that you and I don't have to perish. He came to rescue people so that they can live with him for eternity. That's the creator of the universe coming to the thing that he created to rescue us from ourselves and to rescue us from the penalty of sin. Man, this is huge. I mean, Jesus Christ is like, that's what Paul is trying to get us to understand here. Right size our view of Jesus. Yes, he is the Messiah, but my friends, you got to believe that he's more than that, because when you read the Bible, that's the picture you get from Jesus. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a savior. He's God in the flesh. He's the creator. He controls everything in the universe, and he's also controlling you. The human beings have this molecule called laminin that When you cut yourself, you don't bleed to death because that thing acts like a glue. You can look it up, and you know, people make a whole deal about laminin, but what I want to say to you is this. When it comes to cutting yourself and things in the body, even there's something that glues it together. Jesus Christ is, and no wonder he says, by him all things hold together. So he will be the laminin of the body. Jesus Christ will be the rebar in the concrete thing that people put over there. You can put all concrete you want, but if you don't put those metal rods in there, that's not going to help you. So Jesus is the one holding that thing together. I mean, I love seeing the construction when you go on the BQE and you see like all those rebars sticking out. That's what's holding that concrete together. And when people go on top of the concrete, that thing goes through the rebars and it's like acts as a tension. Like I'm holding here. I'm not going to break. When there's a little earthquake, shakes, but that thing will not let go. Jesus will be the rebar of your life. He will hold you together. He's the glue. And believe me, not even Gorilla Glue is better than him. In him, all things hold together. And I think, my friends, you and I are going to need to right-size our belief, because if you only believe that he's our Savior, we're going to run like, oh, man, what's going on? But when we believe that he can also hold me together, man, I can go through storms in this life, and I know I'm okay. Because bless the Lord, oh, my soul, because he will hold me. He said that he's holding the universe together, and he will hold me. He will keep me from pulling apart. He will kill me. He will keep me from falling and from breaking, from coming unglued, so that in everything he have the supremacy, so that he be above, beyond everything, every power and authority and dominion. He is in charge. That's what Scripture is teaching us about Jesus this morning. So I hope, my friends, that you view Jesus, that your view of Jesus becomes larger. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is by studying his word. Like I said, no gospel, none of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, only say that Jesus is the Messiah. John tells us he's God. And the other way, and you're talking about the kingdom of God is like that. And so they say that he's the Messiah, yes, but he was also more than that. God, the God in the Old Testament that people heard about, the God of the Old Testament came to earth in human form, and we know his name is Jesus. So I hope, like I said, that through this, I just want to make you hungry. So to help your belief, because if my beliefs are not controlled the way I act, so when I'm fearful and insecure about something that's happening to me, perhaps I realize that I don't know who's holding me. I have forgotten that, you know, I don't have that belief. I don't even know that he's capable of doing that. But once you get to know what he's capable of, man, you live your life in peace, even in the midst of the storm, because you know that somebody's holding you together. Somebody's going to keep you from falling. He's the creator of all the universe, and the one holding his creation together, he's also taking care of you. Matthew, Jesus reminded his people about that. Matthew 6:25. Why did you worry about your life? What you're going to eat and drink and what you're going to wear? Look at the birds of the sky. They do not sow, they do not spin, and yet, I love that, your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than birds and grass? If he takes care of the creation, wouldn't he take care of you too? And it's like Jesus saying, that's what God will do for you. And then he says, you a little faith. You see, faith, believe. Because your belief about Jesus is just that. You need to right-size that. Because the moment you get to know who the true Jesus is, man, you will be okay. Nothing will stop you. I mean, we're saying, if our God is with us, who can come against us? And then you live life. You find true peace. You find true meaning in life. A lot of people are seeking for meaning in life. They don't even know what sex there are anymore in some places because they're like confused. They don't know their identity. And it's at that moment when you realize who the Savior is, who this God is, that he created me for his purposes. I'm created by him and for him. Man, now you have true meaning in life. Now you know why you're here. And even though when you go through the valley of shadow of death and you go through things, he says you will not fear because you know somebody. The greatest glue in the whole world is holding you and I together. That's what Jesus Christ would do to you. And yes, my friends, we talked about at the beginning of this year the challenges. We're facing giants every day. Challenges that will be way bigger for us. And we don't even know how we're going to overcome them. But face those challenges. Don't be afraid of those challenges because you know somebody's holding you together. You see, somebody, a God like that, is worthy of our trust. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said when he saw God at work. He says, no God saves like Yahweh. So when you and I get to believe that he's the God that we worship, that created the universe, that created me and placed me here for a purpose, you know, he's this, I mean, nobody saves like him. And yes, I will go through issues in this life. I mean, life, that's what it is. You're going to go through ups and downs. But in that moment, when you feel the pain of whatever, the tragedy, that whatever it is you're going through, when you're feeling that pain, keep in mind, because you have this belief in this great God, that he, even though you're going through that pain, that he, even though you're going through that time, that you don't even know how it's going to be resolved, he will hold you together. And if you are his child, he says, nobody's going to come and snatch you out of my hands. I mean, think about that, God. I mean, it's amazing. And that's what I want for you and I, my friends, today. Right size our view of Jesus. We need to know that Jesus is not just a Savior. He's more than that. He's our God, creator of the universe. In him, all things hold together. If he holds the universe together, he will hold you and I together so you and I will not come unglued because of the problems that we're dealing with in this life. I will trust a God like that. I will worship a God like that because he promised me to never leave me and forsake me. He's worthy of our trust. But I think we don't trust him enough because we don't know much about him. I mean, that's the reality. When you know somebody that well, you would trust that person with your kids. It's like, you can babysit my kids because I trust you. Or you can, I mean, you trust somebody when you have a lot of knowledge of that person. Let's apply that to Jesus now. You would trust Jesus more when you right-size your mind, your knowledge about him, when you realize everything that he is. That some of the things that he revealed through scripture so that you and I can just get to know and help our faith. When fears, I want to conclude with what I said at the beginning. When fears and insecurities dominate my life, when I am overwhelmed by life pressures or the storm is raging in, I don't know how I'm going to face the challenges. So today, even tomorrow, when I'm feeling like this, when I'm feeling that I'm about to break, then I must ask myself, what do I truly believe? What do I truly believe about Jesus? Because if I'm feeling this way, it's because probably I don't really have a very understanding of who he truly is. Like, I just get it. Like, the guy who controls the universe, you just tap into the whole universe thing, like how things are so, you know, in order. The guy who controls the universe says that I will hold you too. When you are my child, I won't keep you from falling apart because in me, in him, all things hold together. My friends, I don't know what you're going through right now. It might be severe, painful. God knows. He promised you that he will not let that break you. You just got to hang on to him. Believing in him, the power that he has. He will sustain you and I. Because that's what he says, in him, all things hold together. So the question that I want to leave you with today as the praise team makes its way, do you truly, truly know Jesus? I mean, we talk about knowing the Lord. Do we truly know Jesus? Because we might know some things about him, just like we know that he died for me and things, but do we truly know him? Like, is our view of Jesus expanded? Is our view of Jesus bigger? And if it's not, I hope that you can make it bigger by reading what Jesus is all about through the Bible. I mean, you get to Revelation, and that's a joy to see somebody sitting on a throne, like everything will bow down to him. And that's the same Savior that we're talking about. So the better you get to know Jesus, I guarantee you, the less fears and insecurities you will have in this life. Because you realize, hey, Jesus got me, man. I don't have to be afraid. Yes, troubles is coming, but he says, he said it to the disciples in the Gospel of John, just done on me right now. He says, trouble is coming, but be brave, because I have overcome the world. In me, he says, you will have peace. Man, that's just like, I mean, how many of us, like, we don't even have a peace of mind? And Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you truly believe that I can do that, in me, you're going to experience that peace. That people are going to look at you and say, they're going to think that you're nuts. Like, what's going on, man? Why is it that you're not falling apart? You can say, because I have somebody gluing me together. Man, what is it that, like, how can you be cool when somebody cuts you off on the road? Because I operate by somebody who can hold me together. And that's Christ, man. When he's holding us together, nothing is going to come in this world to break us apart. I hope that that's the same God you worship. And if you don't know much about him, spend time to find out really what he's all about. I mean, the whole Bible is all about him. But I hope that you just don't take one part. Just right-size that view. Scripture, he's not just the Messiah. He's not just a prophet. creator of the universe, holding the universe together, holding humans together, because that's who he truly is. He will hold us together so that you and I will never break apart.